Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Beit. And so yesterday we had the Perek of the Chidush HaMelucha, which of course, as we pointed out, means, although it was a happy day for everybody else, was a day that was bittersweet for Shmuel. Because for Shmuel it meant essentially the end of the Tkuf of the Shoftim, which meant the end of him, in a sense. Shmuel represented the last gasp of that Tkufa, and the beginning of the Tkufat HaMelachim. And so in a sense he had viewed the Bakashat HaMalchut as being a personal disaster and also a national disaster. Because, as we pointed out, it's the Bakasha that is destructive in terms of the Malchut. And that Bakasha has two important implications. One personal, in that it indicates a sense that there's something lacking in the period of the Shoftim, which was based around the personality of the Shofet. And therefore there was an actual awareness that is a positive thing, that it's impossible to run a nation on the basis of personality, which is, interestingly enough, as time develops, that's what happened in democracies. But you know, it's an obvious point. In other words, when the Malchus decays, it goes back to an even worse situation in the democratic world, in which the only thing that counts is personality, and there's no other elements that are going to be able to give aspects of Malchus. But in any event, that became now a personal issue because it wasn't really important. That, as the Sifri said, was premature, and therefore against Shmuel. But there was another element that was fundamentally premature, in the literal sense of premature. It was premature on the point of Bnei Yisrael being immature. Because the nature of a melech is that it needs to be an expression, an emergent expression of a nation that has become capable now of projecting itself into a malchut. And therefore, it doesn't need to be asked for. It's just a necessary and natural development instead of something that you're pushing for to make it happen. So that Shmuel was very concerned about the fate of a malchut that was Sha'ul, and indeed it became Sha'ul. It became Sha'ul in every sense. It was borrowed, living on borrowed time, asked for, broken because of that, and this was heartbreaking for Shmuel, because Shmuel, the essence of Shmuel, as we see even at the beginning, before he was born, it was Chana's vision of what Shmuel would be, that he would be the one that would have both a Karen and a Pach, that he would be the one to create the Malchut, just as his father Elkanah was the one to prophesy about the end of the period of the Shoftim. He was the one that went around trying to bring the Yisrael together as a nation in terms of Aliyah L'Regel. And this was a man who felt that to the extent that there was a Bakashat HaMalchut that was premature, he was doomed to failure. And in that, unfortunately, he was right. And the aspects that were dooming him to failure, as we saw already, was because this became an issue, indeed, of personality. He was nichshal in creating a very intimate personal relationship with Sha'ul, which did not allow him to drop Sha'ul when it was needed, and in which he became incapable of truly creating the Ma'avar HaMalchut to David, which caused a tremendous amount of problems later. Since Shmuel himself articulated that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, I cannot live like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, so die. If that's the case, you can't learn to live, so then die. Therefore, in the opening of this perek, we indeed find that Shmuel is on the zakanti, where he acknowledges himself as old, and as Chazal says, zikna kafza alav. He wasn't old, he was 52 years old. He was a young man, but he sensed himself as being worn out and old and having lost his abilities. Obviously, since this happened before, it means that it was something that was innate even before the failure that becomes evident later. And so this perek, perek yud beit, is a description of something completely new. You'd think that it should all be part of the parakim before, because it's just really summing up what happened, but it's not true. We're going to see that this parak actually inaugurates the entirely new period of the Malchut, and a new Hanhagat Hashem with Israel, because of it, according to the Midrash. And not only that, it's this parak that brings an absolute end to the period of the Shoftim. This is really the beginning of Shmuel, as what Shmuel was, and because of that, it requires that massive nitzavim that took place at the end of Moshe's life. It took place at the end of Yoshua's life. There was a gathering together of all of Yisrael, in which the leader, as Rashi brings the Midrash, nitzavim, so because of the fact that they were now being given over miparnas miparnas, they needed to be nitzavim in the sense of asa otam matzeva. They themselves became the edut.
as Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, right?
And here too, Shmuel asks them to be edim, so that it becomes an atem nitzavim alechem, atem nitzavim kuchem. And Shmuel asks them now to confirm that the end has come and to give him a goodbye that includes an acceptance that everything that he did for them and with them was correct, despite the fact that they had rejected him. Vayomer Shmuel ko Yisrael. Now look, hinei shamati bekochem. Don't ever say that I allowed my own needs to get in the way over here, okay? Because if I did, believe me, you wouldn't have a king today. So this was not pleasant for me, this whole thing that we just had and this whole wonderful experience and your great party. I'm very happy that you're happy. But I did whatever you wanted. L'kol asher amartem li. V'amlich aleichem melech, and I saw to it that you should have a king, okay? So now you've got your king. V'ata hinei amelech mitalech lifnechem. Here's your king walking in front of you. Of course, it's a remez. This is what Shmuel did his whole life. He literally traveled his whole life. I hope he does as well. So he's mitalech lifnechem. Vanizakanti. You're right. I've gotten old. Vasavti, which is even worse. So he sees himself as being more than just old, but being ancient. Uvanai hinamitchem. Look, my children are with you. Now, Metzidus learns that this means that what he's saying is not an attempt to say, you know, well, you should still take care of them. But on the contrary, here you see my sons together with you, completely accepting upon themselves the malchus of Shaul. So don't look at us as being in some way reluctant to participate, despite the fact that we view it as painful. And you even brought it up as a specific rejection of me and my children. You said to me these words. You said, you're old and your kids are no good. That's what you said to me. So I'm sending that back to you. You're right. I'm old. My kids are now the ones that are accepting the malchut. Just remember that vani talachti lifnechem. I literally walked in front of you minu urai adayom hazeh. This was my life. Therefore, in front of this king, I want you to tell me. Hinni anuvi neged adunai v'neged mishicha. Et shor mi lakachti v'chamor mi lakachti. Answer me. I want to know if I ever took anything from anybody. Remember, we saw that Shaul had himself assumed before knowing Shmuel, you have to bring him a little something, don't you? I mean, don't these rabbis all take a little thing and then they give you a beracha or a red string or something? So I want you to say, did I ever, ever engage in that kind of nonsense? Did I borrow? I was doing stuff for you. I brought that shor, you know the shor that I brought when I made Shaul king. Did I ask you to pay for it or did I pay for it? When I traveled around in Winnebagoes all year, who paid for that? You guys paid for it or I paid for it? Et chamor milakach, did I ask anybody for anything? Have I ever in any way been wrong to some person, taking money from him shelo kedin? Is this someone that I crushed by demanding something? So did I take kofar, meaning shochad, from anybody? Va'alim einaybo, and it's beautiful, the pshat in the va'alim einaybo. Rashi learns it means bepashtis. Va'alim einaybo, that the kofar would be to be malim ayin from the mishpat. Others suggest that no, that's obvious. That's what kofar means. Va'alim einaybo means I'm not going to look. You guys tell each other, okay? You tell each other, and somebody report to me what I owe, and I'll pay you right now. Just give me a list. You don't have to be embarrassed saying it in front of me. I'm not looking. Give me the list of what I owe you, and I'll pay it right now. And I'll pay you every penny. Vayomru, lo ashaktanu, v'lo ratzaktanu. Nothing. Lo lakachti mi'ad ish ma'uma, you never took a dime from anybody. Vayomer alehem, aid Adonai b'chem, ve'aid mishicha ayom hazeh, that's v'amish inyan of nitzavim, is that to be omen is a matzeva, aid ha-matzeva hazot, kilo matzaten b'yadim uma, so are you willing now to testify to that for future generations? Vayomru aid. Some say that the k'tiv of Vayomer is a remez, that Shaul was made on this. It was a yachid, he was saying it as a lashon of Rabbi. Vayomer Shmuel ela'am, now that we have that behind us, I feel that I can tell you my last words and give you a message for the future. Adonai asher asat Moshe et Aaron, v'asher he'alat avotechem me'eretz Mitzrayim. And I say this in front of God, who took you, made Moshe and Aaron to do their shlichut at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, when we saw that there were many, many parallels in the Yeshua from Nachash Ha'amoni to the same exact lashonas, the shmiah, the tzaakat b'nei Yisrael, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, his zechira of the brit, and it was all very much similar, and we constantly have these references to Yitziat Mitzrayim. So there was Moshe and Aaron. After he did all of that to you, I want to hold a court session of who is right in the relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, later on in the Dorot, the Nevi'im talk about this. I'll take you out. Let's go through a mishpat. What I did for you and how you responded to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So I want to do that now. I want to mention let's start back at the beginning. And everything went to hell from that moment on, basically. I mean, yeah, there were some good years, but we won't even talk about that. And whatever went wrong, in the end, it was the Zaka, Vishlach Adonai et Moshe, Vet Aaron, Vayotziot Avotechem Mitzrayim. You were brought here to Eretz Yisrael, right away. What did you do? Right away you forget who brought you here. And so he sent you in the hands of Sisra, Tsar, Tzva, Chatzor. Now obviously this is out of order, because the Biyad Plishtim, or Biyad Melech Moab, is a reference back to Shamgar ben Anat, and a reference back to Ehud. But the point is that the Tzidkot Pirzonobi Yisrael, those words, are what Dvorah mentioned. He's coming to be Mazkir Tzidkot Hashem. It's not a coincidence that she saw that Shira as a memory of Tzidkot Hashem, to sing over the Shira Tzidkot Pirzonobi Yisrael. And therefore, he mentions that first, because, as we pointed out then, the Da'at Shakamti Em B'Yisrael means that that redefined the relationship through Amahut, redefined the relationship to the Tzidkot Hashem directly. And so because of that, he mentions it first, even though it's out of order, which is remarkable, and it's very clear that there's a reason that he's mentioning this first. Vayishkechu. So what happens? Vayilachamu bam. Vayizaku al Adonai vayomru chatanu, ki azavnu et Adonai, v'navod et ha-baalim et ha-ashtarot, v'yata tzileinu miyad oyveinu v'navdeka. So just as we saw back in Shoftim, the absurdity of the patterns always promises. Always promises. Save us this time. Save us. We'll give up the Baalim, the Ashtarot. Just save us now. Atah Tzileinu. So fine. You know how many times it happened? Vayishlach Adonai et Yerubal, vet Bedan, vet Yiftach, vet Shmuel. Vayatzel etchem miyad avichem misaviv, vateshvu betach. So many times after each one of those Hatzalot, vatishkata aretz, arbaim shara, shmonim shara, just sitting there all happy again. And the moment that you're happy, it all starts over again. And so now, I understand what was going on. You guys aren't dumb. Obviously, Nachash Bnei Amon didn't appear suddenly the day after you made Shaul Melech. That was what you were worried about. You saw the growing power of Amon. You recognized that that's what we're going to be up against. Shmuel, what's he going to do? So therefore, we need a Melech. Okay, so then now you come and you say to me, that's the only thing. This is ridiculous. You've been up against this situation again and again, much worse than before. Why all of a sudden you need this melech? You understand what that was saying? So now, this is what you chose. Not that you chose this melech, because they didn't. But this is the melech that you chose. You said, no, it's got to be this way. That's a choice. You made a moral choice. You want a melech, right? And then, you come to me, I'm supposed to take care of this. And it's all a bunch of garbage. Okay, v'inei natan Adonai lechem melech. So now you've got your king. Hope you're happy. So now let's talk about the future. Im tiru et Adonai, v'avatem oto, shmatem mekolo, v'lo tamru et pi Adonai, v'yitem gam atem v'gam ha-melech ha-shem alach alechem, achar Adonai lechem. Let me just warn you something. Nothing's changed. Don't think because you have a melech that now all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, now it's okay. It's not okay. It's exactly the same. You have a melech. If the melech will be the way you were supposed to be yourselves without a melech, so if the melech will be like you, and don't think that now the melech could take your place either. He'll be a great tzaddik. You could do whatever you want. If you and your melech, that you think so highly of, will in fact keep the mitzvot Hashem, then there's no then. Then obviously what the then is. Rashi learns there is a then. It's a beautiful then. V'yitem. You will be. What could be a better then? You will exist. V'yitem. Every place where the Gemara says, right? That's v'haya. As always, that's the existential term. It will be as it is, as you dream it should be. V'yitem, it'll be. V'im lo tishmu, v'kol Adonai. Umritem et pi Adonai. V'hayta yad Adonai b'achem uv'avotechem. How can it be b'avotechem? The Parshas people take this to mean, because whatever reflects a cherpa on Yisrael is a cherpa against the Avot Yisrael. But the Gemara learns out from here that this means literally, b'avotechem, and that in certain Avonot, that the goyim actually uproot the graves, chat teshichvi, says the Gemara, actually uproot the graves of your forefathers. It's a tremendous bizayon. Gamata. And now you think that, okay, well, we've done it right, okay? Hityatzvu ru'u et ha'davar ha'gadol hazeh. I want to see. You think we've done it right. Everything's okay. Take a look at this thing now. Asher Adonai oseh le'inechem, that God is going to do in front of your eyes. Halo k'tzir chitim hayom. Not a good idea for rain. Who ever heard of rain in the middle of k'tzir chitim? Ekra Adonai v'iten kolot u'matar. You think he's so happy with the situation? Udu'u ru'u ki ra'atchem rabah. This is not a good thing that you're so happy about. You just had this big party, and you've got your melech, and you just had this great victory over Ammon. It's wonderful. It's not wonderful. Your ra'ah is rabah. It's a disaster. Asher asitem be'ini Adonai. And here, this is the clue. Lish'ol lachem melech. The whole point, as we've seen it again and again, is the sha'ul element of the malchut. You asked. You were supposed to appoint. You're not supposed to ask. Ve'amartem asima alai melech. Fine. Som tasim alech ha-melech. You should never have asked. And so vayikra Shmuel al Adonai, vayiten Adonai kolot matar bayom ahu, vayira kol ha'amod et Adonai vet Shmuel. So they realized that they had done, and this is, first of all, it's a siman klala. Tremendous siman klala, that the Gemara actually learns from here that it's a siman klala. So that it's a sign that they're in big trouble. Not to mention the impact of the change in nature that comes at the behest of Shmuel, as if he could just say what he wants to happen, and boom, it happens.
Is it some
of the rain? Yeah. But a massive storm. Maybe yes, maybe
not,
maybe not. Vayomru chol ha'am el Shmuel, hitpalil ba'ad avadecha l'adonai l'echa v'al namut. Good God. We thought this was great. Oh no. Ki asavna ha'kol chatutenu ra'ah. Now we're even worse than we were before. Besides all the other garbage that we've done, so now this is another hate that we're going to have to live with. Lish'olonu melech. That's how they took the sign that they're in line for punishment. Vayomer Shmuel al ha'am al tira'u. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu had said, al tira'u ki ba'avaru l'nasotchem ba'elohim. I'm not showing you this as a klala that you're destined for klala. But I want you to understand that your whole way of looking at this is so perverse and so warped that you're looking at yourself as being great when, if anything, you should be realizing that everything was done wrong. And wrongly in a way that's a historic wrong, that's going to have historic impact. I'm not saying that today you're going to be punished for doing something wrong. It's true. But it's still possible to save the situation. Because, don't you understand, you turn aside, you're not turning aside to anything. It's ridiculous. Turn aside to what? I use the word turn aside. And turn aside to what? It would all be, this is not mentioned, it's not grammatically constructed. In other words, it means to say, because if you will be sar, what will you be sar to? To nothing. All of these other things, these philosophies, these beliefs, they're all idiocies. They're not going to help you. And even though things you say are bad, you're worried now. We're not roy for Yeshuat Hashem. That doesn't matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let you, despite the fact that you really are not roi, despite that fact, Bavur Shema Agadol, he will not let go.
This is very much alike, isn't it?
There's tremendous things that are happening over here. First, let's recognize that this idea, Kilo Yitosh Hashem, is in fact a completely new anaga. We never heard this before. And this, the Tana Devei Elio says that this was a completely new madrega. Because when it says, Vayirach Ha'am Ma'od, Het Adonai Vet Shemuel, never happened before. We never had a responsive Yirah. We had the idea before, at the time of Yehoshua, that since they were Bekabel, Omachot Shamayim, Be'ahava, and they went, and they, fine, that was the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Massive outpouring of commitment, of love. So that gave them 300 years, B'mei Shvat HaShoftim, says the Midrash, of being Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you love me, I love you, forget it, let you get away with murder. Clearly that period has ended. The new period is introduced with HaKabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim Mitoch Yir'ah. But a Yir'at HaRomamut, a sense of fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shmuel, you know, can't fear Shmuel in terms of Onesh. It's the recognition of what it is that was lost from the Yimot HaShoftim, even though maybe we're getting something that's politically more viable and over the course of time is more viable. But it's not all good. Of course, we know the essence of self-organization, which is Malchut, borders always on minut. The end result is, as the Gemara tells us, that the Malchut is mitapechet leminut completely for 6 months before Biat HaMashiach. So this needed, therefore, yirah. And toch yirah, you're not bo'ed. Love can bring you even to greater degrees of self-love. Yirah is, by definition, a vision of that which exists outside of you, in which you can't define it the way you'd like to define it.
Childhood.
Yeah, it is. It's the end of childhood. So this ma'amad is the ma'amad of the end of the period of Shoftim, not only in terms of the fact of who would be the leader, whether it be Shofet the leader or the Melech of the leader. It's a change in the entire vision of Klal Yisrael as being Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban, or being responsible people. And this jumping ahead, which was a very teenagery kind of thing to do, in being Mavakesh, the Malvus, and so on, cannot take the place of some actual maturation, so that just a few years from now, the fact is that they'll be ready for true Malchut. But this is a very, very painful period. It's very painful in terms of the development of personal relationships. The whole thing is extremely painful. That's the story of Ruth. That's the story of David, his relationship with Shaul. Shaul's own relationship with David. Shaul's relationship with Yonatan. Yonatan's relationship with David. These are all very, very painful and complex and interwoven issues, all of which came because just as a teenager goes through that type of emotional turmoil in going between the ages of adolescence and adulthood, Klal Yisrael went through that amazing emotion.
And that's why Kilo Yitosh.
Now it's Kilo Yitosh. Not only because you need it, but because for the first time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that this is the identification that he has of you. And that is now something that's very, very different, says the Medrash. And because of that, you were Zoche. And therefore, listen to the Lashon of the Tanit Ve'Elio, which is remarkable. So, Scharan Shal Yisrael, Shekiblu O Malchut Shamayim B'Yir'ah, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yarad Mishmei Shamayim Elyonim, Mimkom Kvodo V'Gadlo V'Tifarto U'Kdushato, V'Shachan Imahem, V'Kava Lehem Bracha, Shehi Mida Tova Ba'Olam, Shenema Ki Lo Yitosh Hashem Et Amo Ba'Avur Shemo HaGadol. So that means that this was a completely new Hanaga that related to the beginning of the Tkufa, the Melucha, and was the transition from the Tkufa of the Shoftim. A remarkable, remarkable thing that most people are not aware of, that this was not just a question of the different type of Memshal. It was a different Hanaga and relationship to Hashem Yitbarach Shemo from this moment on, which is extremely powerful. Because of that, we have also the most remarkable subtext theme. That subtext theme is Shmuel's relating himself to Moshe Aaron. Remember the repetition here. Two times he talks about Moshe Aaron and Shmuel. The Gemara even uses this as the proof that you have Shlosha, the Kale Olam, and that is, as he just mentioned, Yerubal, we have Gidon, and Yiftach, and Bedan, which we pointed out before, that Bedan is a reference to the only Shofet who is a Yochid, and he finds the whole Shevet, which was Shimshon, of course. That was an amazing identification that he makes right now. And he puts himself and Moshe Aaron together with these. These are Shlosha Kalei Olam, with Shlosha Chomrei Olam. The three greatest people, Moshe Aaron, B'Kohanav, Shmuel, B'Korei Shemo. And on the other hand, wild people. The strangest people of the Yemot HaShoftim. That's not the point. The point is that the Beit Din of Shmuel HaRamati and the Beit Din of Yiftach, it's all the same. As far as that is concerned, as far as the Yerushat HaTorah is concerned and the giving over and so on, that I'm mashveh. But what does he want to do? Remember that we pointed out at the beginning of the Sefer that this is the takana of a Navi for the deterioration of what Navi achieved in Pelegesh Begivah. And Navi, I meant Levi, I'm sorry. This is like takana of a Levi for the deterioration of the Leviah in bringing about Pesel Micha, which came from Moshe. And he's a grandson of Moshe. He's created by Moshe. Micha is created by Moshe. And Pelegesh Begivah, which is another Ish Levi. Three stories of Levi and Mihar Ephraim. The third story of a Levi Mihar Ephraim, remarkably, doesn't just come from any old Levi. It comes from Korach Vadato. Now, the fact that Korach made the mistake of thinking that because Shmuel was going to be Shoko Keneged Moshe Aharon comes from me, it must be Kol HaGdolah Hazot is Tluya Bi. What Moshe Rabbeinu said at that moment was what? Lo Chamor Echad Mi'am Nasat. I never took anything, Lo Lakachti Mi'am U'ma. Word for word, what Shmuel wants to establish right now. Unbelievable. This is B'nai Korach, basically speaking. So Moshe Rabbeinu has established his Moshe V'Aaron. My great-grandfather went ahead and attacked Moshe V'Aaron and claimed that it was all nepotism, which drove Moshe bananas. I don't want that claim coming back to me. My children are with you. I never kept anything for myself. And I want you to say so. It's amazing, huh? It's so powerful. It could be that in that context, we need to recognize that Nachash and his threat to Shmuel as well, because it was Acharei v'Acharei Shmuel, remember, that Shaul had said exactly what B'nai Korach v'Hadassah said to Moshe. Ha'enei anashim ha'elo t'naker. You can tear out their eyes. Lo nale. Unbelievable. So this is mamish, the story of Nachash, and the whole issue of warning something that the Gemara in Sota says, Korach, the same way the Nachash HaKadmoni, right? So now we have the entire thing coming together in the transition.
And it's Eino Vitato.
And Eino Vitato. So that the entire thing is now an expression of the assertion of B'nai Korach, in a sense, over Moshe V'Aaron. It's unbelievable. And the very fact that Moshe was the one that was involved in Pesel Micha brings that even more powerfully. Because it's basically an assertion of the Keach, of the Leviah, that Korach was right about. That some element of B'nai Korach, obviously if they continue and they make Shmuel, some aspect was correct and needed yet to be mitukan. And Shmuel is the one who is matakena, that whole vision of what it is that the Leviah has to be, the Kohen has to be. It's through him that B'nai Eli are destroyed. So that in the end, Novi Rakonim also ends up the destruction of the B'nai Eli, of Yatar. It's finished in the end by Shlomo. And that's it for Eli. So that we come on now to the entire other approach in the Shevet Levi. Okay, so this is a subtext. Now, you said, please, hitpalel ba'ad avadecha. Please, we know that we did the wrong thing. We know that it hurt you. Please pray. What a terrible thing, says Shmuel, to have said to me. Yam anochi, chalilali, mechatol adonai, mechadoli palel. But what, you think you have to beg me to pray for you? You're crazy. You know what a hate it is for someone, and even the Gemara learns, that someone who is bekoach to be mitpalel ba'at chaviro and isn't mitpalel for him, so it's considered to be a chate. He's nikra chate. So this is what Shmuel is saying. He's actually to think of me. You have to ask me that even though we hurt you, you should continue to pray for me. Chalilali mechatol adonai. That I should stop for a moment. Bechadolit palel ba'atchem. What do you think? As far as I'm concerned, you can all go to hell because of the way that you treated me. There's some difference. You can make some difference to me that I'm less there, less present, less caring. That's not the point. It's that I'm worried about you. I can't save you if you don't do that. Your melech can't save you. See what tremendous chasadim and all of the tovot that he did, including this latest teshuah. Some learned the Higdili Machem, which I find it difficult to believe, is a reference back to the Koloto Matar, see that he's angry, and it's not the Pash. V'im ha'rea tareo, but you should know, despite the fact that lo yitosh Hashem et amo, there's some who learn, by the way, that there's two different things. Ki lo yitosh Hashem et amo, ki higdil Hashem la'asot etchem lo la'am, and then there's Bavur Shmo HaGadol, one is in Eretz Yisrael and one is in Chutz La'aretz. So Bavur Shmo HaGadol, that's in Eretz Yisrael. You're in the process. He wants to continue making you into an am. The other man, the Yoma, says, it's always about Baruch Shmo HaGadol. Forget it. Because there's nothing else that could really even provide for the lasod olam. But in harei tareu, gam atem v'gam malkachem tisafu. Don't dream about that something haven't changed in terms of having a melech vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch. You can all drop dead, and your king can all drop dead. Because this is a remez, which is exactly what it is that David had said about him. That word v'nispa is to be taken in by the war, which is what happens in the end of Shaul with the Plishtim. So it's really a sense of a nivi'ut about the atid. Zaman the Omer actually brings out that you see that Shmuel was speaking as if not from his own mouth, because he speaks about himself in third person. At Yerubal, at Badan, at Yiftav, at Shmuel. So he's being minabe, but he's not being minaseach. The words he would have said, Dvani, But instead he said, it could be that. And the lashon that he uses there is niba avlo yodu ma shemitnabim, meaning that they're not minaseach. So in saying this, yisafer, he's being meramis to what David will actually say in the end about Shmuel, Shaul, and which does occur to Shaul when he's not hilech miderech yishara.